Now to resources to order. This is an overview day, and our LFO staff is going to take us through our information.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I did pass out to you a packet of information that we'll just go through. Try to take us, maybe about an hour and a half if there aren't a lot of questions, maybe less time. Why don't I go ahead and do some introductions? I'm Sumit Glashan. I'm with the Legislative Fiscal Office. I have responsibility for some of the natural resource area agencies, as well as the K-12 budget. So any of you are on education, so you won't see me there. There are other analysts in our office who also do natural resources agencies, and I'll go over a list of staff names for you. I'd like to introduce Anne-Marie Palisway. She's the committee assistant for Natural Resources Subcommittee this session. She brought some brownies for you to eat if you need to stay awake. People in the audience are welcome to have those as well. I understand.
Oh, wait,
you better count those.
Yeah. I'm going to get mine right now.
We might have a shortfall, so we might have
true budget. Chief, he's always counting things.
In the back of the room, I have their permission to introduce them. These are staff from the Department of Administrative Services Budget and Management Division. And starting on the right is Christina Shearer, and then Lisa Pearson, Jim Gores, and Valentina, is it Fomenko? Okay. So you won't see Valentina in here, but the other three analysts you will see in here is from the agency budget come up. They're also on the staff list here with their telephone numbers, and we'll go over that in a little bit. So today we're just going to cover some general and procedural type information first, and then we'll go into a very high level program area overview. There are four LFO analysts who staff this program area. One of them is ill today, and the other one is in another subcommittee. And then I did not ask the other person to use her time to come in because I think I can cover for her. But if you do have detailed questions on any of the agency budgets, I'll probably have to defer to those people to a later time. Another item that's on our agenda for today was to go over the subcommittee chair's expectations and goals. As you know, Representative Morgan is not here today, and Representative Krieger is taking her place. I don't know if she shared with you, Representative Krieger, her expectations.
I have not, but she has high expectations.
She has high expectations.
So don't mess it up.
And one of them is to start on time.
And she's not here.
But she's excused.
She
told us, yes, she told us ahead of time she wouldn't be here. If you turn to the document that, right after the daily agenda, we can start with that. That's just the general and procedural information. And she did share with me that she does want people to be here on time. The meeting starts at 1 p.m. And if you are unable to attend a meeting, you can either notify the subcommittee chair or you can call our scheduling clerk, and I provided the number there for you. Otherwise, we do spend time trying to round up members, and so it would be nice to know ahead of time if you aren't going to be able to make it or if you will be delayed. And that especially gets important when we need a quorum to act on any matter. I've also provided for you a copy of the committee rules for Ways and Means, and there were some specific items in those rules that I wanted to go over. These probably will be amended because item number one speaks to a Senate vice chair, but not a House vice chair. But other than that, there shouldn't be any changes, and none that will affect how this subcommittee proceeds. First of all, I would just call your attention to item number 10, which talks, and that's on the reverse side on the second page, talks about a quorum for reporting legislation out of the subcommittee. Before the vacancy occurred on this subcommittee, you had four House members, and you still have three Senate members. And a quorum requires a majority of your Senate members and a majority of your House members. So assuming that the vacancy will be filled, you would need three House members and two Senate members for a quorum. And I believe the expectation is that vacancy will be filled so that you will still have four House members. Until that happens, you have, obviously, you have three House members, so a quorum on the House side would be two until that vacancy is filled. Then, if you'll take a look at item number five in the rules, just because it came up before the meeting started, that just speaks to the role of the co-chairs in terms of being able to come in and vote in the subcommittee. And having the co-chairs come in and vote doesn't change the quorum requirements. It just allows another vote. Usually a co-chair is coming in to replace a subcommittee member because they're absent for one reason or another. And then finally, if you'll look at number 11, it talks about the appropriation bills that are assigned to this, are assigned to the subcommittees. And the subcommittee has to report out those appropriation bills. You don't have the ability to table them or hold them. So they have to be reported back to the Joint Committee for action.
What if we can't get a vote, a majority vote on one of the bills?
At this level, I believe the co-chairs could come in and vote
that's
that out
correct.
If they wanted to. That has happened.
Are there any other questions on the committee rules? Okay, or on the quorum requirements?
Excuse me, isn't it? You said the co-chairs come out, but I'm assuming they work until they can get it out. Is a much more logical approach.
That's cool.
If we break down where we can't, we've got a problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the co-chairs do have the ability to remove a bill from a subcommittee and put it into another subcommittee, mm-hmm. and that's another way that that could be.
Well, it says right here we can't table a whole legislation, so that they can take it right out of here.
Right. Okay. Then, if there are no other questions on the subcommittee rules or the quorum requirements, I'll just keep going down on that overview sheet. There should be a carafe of coffee. We don't have any today, but there should be a carafe of coffee for you every day. One thing to keep in mind is that these microphones can be sensitive and may pick up side conversations, so we just wanted to alert you to that. And usually after when the meeting is adjourned and the microphone's shut off, there can be a delay, about 30 seconds, I'm told. And so just be aware of that.
Be on your good behavior.
We don't want anything picked up.
Ronald Reagan, that's what I always say.
And
remember that? That the Russians attacking?
Just as a courtesy to everyone in the room, we ask that if you have audible pagers or cell phones or other devices that you put them on vibrate or turn them off unless it's necessary to respond to an emergency of some sort. You will get a daily agenda. It'll be distributed here at the dais, and it will just tell you what's going to occur that day, usually what bill is going to be either heard or worked, and LFO staff, BAM staff, and agency staff that will be presenting or involved in the hearing. And you will also get a weekly agenda distributed usually by the end of each week for the following week. And one thing that I would ask of you, if you could let me know if you would rather have those delivered to your offices, a hard copy, which is what I've usually done in the past, and I don't mind doing that and kind of enjoy the exercise walking around the building. But I can do it by email. I just need to know what works best for you, because I know sometimes people like just get the hard copy in the inbox, and sometimes emails can get ignored. I can certainly, you know, flag it with a red exclamation point. So if you could maybe let me know what works best for you, then I'd be happy to.
That's what I prefer to.
Okay. Is that fine? Okay. We'll be done. Then I've also provided for you the sheet after the one that shows the quorum requirement, a list of the bills that are assigned right now to this subcommittee and what agencies they pertain to, the LFO analyst name and number, and then the BAM analyst name and number. So if you have any questions about specific budget issues or policy issues concerning these agencies, you can give one of us a call. And you might also deal with some substantive legislation that has a fiscal impact as assigned by the co-chairs. You might see some federal grant applications come forward, and then you'll probably deal with some fee bills, which are listed on that list we just covered. And it shows you what agencies those pertain to as well. So if there are no questions so far, we'll just continue on. As far as the budget hearings and the work session process, you've probably heard, if not once, times about a change in how we're approaching the budget hearings this session. And usually what we do, or what we've done in the past, is the agencies would have their the public hearing scheduled on their budget bills, and then there would be a work session, and then we'd be done with it. And it was just pretty much one process of public hearings and then work sessions, sometimes with, you know, time in between to work out issues. This time, what the co-chairs have decided is that there will be what they're calling a three-phase process. And in the first process, and I apologize if this is repetitive because you've heard it before, but in the first phase, what they would like the subcommittee to focus on are the agency's performance measures and outcomes, their budget priority list, and then the 10% reduction options list that they will be providing. And the agencies are expected to come in and do a fairly high-level overview of their programs, enough so that you can have a good grasp of what the agencies do. But they're not supposed to be delving into the real budget detail. That will come in a later phase, probably phase two. And one of the goals of the first phase is to have the subcommittees come up with their priorities for the agencies and the program area, and help the co-chairs develop their budget, what we call the co-chairs budget. So this is something that's new for agencies. They've not really had to do this before, so, you know, we might have a little stumbling around at first until people kind of get into the, you know, the pattern and get comfortable with it. But that's what the co-chairs have decided that they want to do this time. What we're going to try to do, and it may not work with the agencies that are coming up early on, because they really haven't had a lot of advance notice about this change, but we're going to try to get you at least a week ahead of time of their first scheduled hearing in phase one, those things that I mentioned. So their priority list, their performance measures, their reductions options list, and then also their presentation materials. And those will be the presentation materials that they will use throughout. It's not just for phase one, but also for phase two and phase three if necessary. What we're asking you to do is to be sure that you bring those materials with you, because we won't have additional copies in the hearing room. So please try to get your staff to remind you to bring those with you. And then on the day of the hearing, there will be a budget bill here for you. And if possible, the governor's recommended budget binder. For the agencies that are up early on, those may not be available. So there may be some delay in getting that. But hopefully you won't need those for phase one anyway. Whatever materials you get distributed to you in the subcommittee, you can take them with you or leave them in the hearing room. But if you take them with you, you should probably bring them back for the next hearing or for the work session. Then also in your packet of information, I just provided to you the memo that went out to agency heads from the co-chairs describing the revised presentation guidelines. And basically what they said, it's not that additional or different information is necessarily required, but we're doing this in a different order and emphasizing things like performance numbers and checking priorities. So I won't go over those unless you have some questions. So in the overview document, I've listed for you the tentative order of the hearing. And I've also provided to you, and this is also available on our website, the tentative schedules for each Ways and Means subcommittee. And you'll see that first step next week is Department of Forestry, and they will be here for 3 days. And then Water Resources, Parks and Recreation, DEQ, sorry for using an acronym, Department of Environmental Quality.
We know that one.
Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Department of State Lands, Department of Fish and Wildlife, Department of Land Conservation and Development, and Department of Agriculture. And those are the larger natural resources area agencies. There are some more, Representative Krieger. If time permits, we will have the Land Use Board of Appeals in Phase 1, Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, Department of Energy and Marine Board, and in fact, if all that works out, the only agency that won't be before you during Phase 1 is the Columbia River Gorge Commission.
In Phase 1.
And that is scheduled to go through March 18th, with that last week being the subcommittee discussing the agency program priorities. So the actual hearings for the agencies will stop the previous week. And you, right now you have Thursday, March 10th off, unless we need that for one of the agencies to carry over. And then the detailed discussion of the budget and the budget work sessions will follow in phases 2 and 3, and those are yet to be determined. And we'll get that information to you as soon as possible. I think you've all been here on Ways and Means before, so I don't think I really need to talk about the work session process unless you want me to, and budget reports. Everybody's familiar with that. I will say that budget notes, are still an issue, and they can be included in the budget report if necessary to clarify or expand on requirements that are directly related to the execution of the budget. And if you go back to the committee rules and look at number 13, it talks about budget notes.
The co-chairs are encouraging those issues.
I have the opposite understanding.
Oh, really?
They are not.
He's being facetious, I think.
Oh, really?
Those should go through the subcommittee chair and also get the approval of the co-chairs. Correct. Let's see. After the calendar, what I provided for you is the agenda for next week. And again, Department of Forestry will be coming forward and Water Resources Department. One thing, before we get into the program overview, one thing I should mention is the progress board, due to the emphasis on the performance measures this time, the progress board has prepared a binder for you, and it's entitled Performance Measure Links to Oregon Benchmarks. And I think most of the information in it you'll see from the agencies, in other words, their annual performance reports. But the first few pages show you the links to the benchmarks for the agencies that are in the natural resources program area. So if you turn to the first page in that binder, you'll see all, should be 14 natural resources agencies, and their links to the Oregon benchmarks, which are listed on the right-hand side. You only count 13. We're missing one in there. Looks like Marine Board's not in there. Oh, in fact, it says down below the Marine Board does not link to an Oregon benchmark. So, and then if you turn to page, well, they are calling it page one. But if you turn the page, you'll see that of the, for example, of the benchmarks 1 to 17, for example, there are 73 performance measures, and 3 are with DEQ and 8 are with DLCD. So they're just trying to help
explain that again to me. So.
On the left-hand side, okay. Senator Nelson, bring on. Yeah, the same page. If you're looking at an Oregon benchmark that pertains to, for example, economy, and those are benchmarks 1 through 17, the progress board has determined that there are 73 which pertain to those benchmarks. And for these agencies and this subcommittee, 3 of those reside with DEQ and 8 with DLCD. And then it goes on and shows you links.
Okay. So you're saying not just they're not just limited to the environment, that there are
right, it's all
environment, natural resource benchmarks under other categories.
It's just trying to trying to take the agencies assigned to this subcommittee and their performance measures and showing you the links back to all the benchmarks. So this is for your reference. You can take this with you, apparently. And if you don't bring it back, it's not a problem. So you can do what you want with it. So if there are no questions about that information, I'll just go ahead and dive into the program overview.
I mean, with these Oregon benchmarks, I thought we were really supposed to use it, but to me, I look at this and I think, wow, I don't understand any of this. Somebody's going to have to lead me down the path.
Yeah, we will.
We'll be glad to lead you.
I know where you're going. Yeah, I know.
We'll help shed the light.
Out in the desert.
Here's one thing. There's an agent performance measure, Oregon benchmark, timber harvest. These are the pieces you look at when you're over here. Instead of harvest acres. The performance measures are here. The benchmark is timber harvest. The performance measures, you measure whether they're doing what they're supposed to be doing against that, is performance measures. As an example, it's over
here. I just say that's still very confusing. Maybe I'll work at it. Maybe
you may have to stick your words in the book.
Right. I mean, you're coming from the country. I mean, what the heck?
I'm like a fox. Here we go again. Okay.
Yeah. I had a judge tell me, well, don't read those law books. They just get you in trouble. It's a good target.
So, if there are no other questions about this,
okay, I'll shut up.
I got the message. Talk about the program area in general. This is just to give you some very, very high-level budget information today.
What are we looking at?
This is now, should be the last document in your package.
I really need to, help you guys.
Presentation of the printed slides. And the first page just is a title page and then a list of the agencies in the natural resources program area. And then if you'll turn that page over, on page 2, what I just done there is to give you a sense of where the natural resources program area is in the context of the overall budget. That top slide shows you the 0507 governor's recommended budget, which is a total of $42 billion. And the natural resources program area share is about 3.3%. So you can see that little slice in the pie that's pulled out is the natural resources program area, and the total funds in the governor's budget are about $1.4 billion. And we'll go over the fund types in a few minutes. And then the slide on the bottom is just showing you that the program area's share of general fund and lottery. So the 0507 general fund and lottery budget is $11.9 billion, and the natural resources program area share is about a little less than $300 million, and that's about 2.2%. About half of that is lottery, about half is general fund. So it's not a very big piece of the overall pie. And then on the following page, on page 3, what you see is for 0305, the legislatively approved budget, that shows you by fund type the overall budget. So in the overall budget, the most recent updated figures we have it's a $1.43 billion total funds budget. So you'll see about 66% of the budget is other funds. And you're probably aware of this, but there are just numerous fees and licenses and permits in these agencies, and that's why there's such a large other funds budget. The lottery funds are mainly, you know, the Measure 66 funds, and they're primarily in OWEB and parks, although there's a little bit in, I think, Department of Agriculture and DEQ and ODF&W. And then there's a fairly sizable chunk of other funds in non-limited, and most of that resides within the Department of Energy for their small-scale energy loan program. And a fair chunk of it is in DEQ also. Those are probably the two biggest contributors to that fund.
I have a question. So, for instance, the State Revolving Loan Fund, would that be considered other funds, non-limited?
That's correct, mm-hmm. Representative Dick Felder. That's exactly right.
Do you have any idea how much general fund and lottery fund is available that's not constitutionally directed as far as lottery funds are concerned?
The person who handles that is Paul Sieber. Unfortunately, he's ill today. If Lisa doesn't mind my putting her on the spot, I'll take a stab at that, but she'll correct me if I'm wrong. I think virtually all of the lottery funds are dedicated.
$34,000.
Right. But other than that,
it's constitutionally
correct.
Dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
So the only discretionary might have any significance is the general fund.
The general fund, correct.
Thanks.
Okay. And then down below, that slide just shows you how the budget is sliced up by expenditure category, the major ones of personal services, services and supplies, capital outlay, debt service, and then special payments. And then on the reverse of that page are the same types of slides but for the 0507 governor's recommended budget. And I think I would just point out that between 0305 and 0507, there's a very slight increase in the general fund of about $7 or $8 million. I think primarily due to a fund shift in the Department of Agriculture, if I'm not mistaken, and then there are some policy option packages in the Department of Land Conservation and Development's budget, and those two are probably the major causes of that very slight increase. There's actually a decrease in federal funds, I believe due to the phase-out of some funds for the McCormick and Baxter Superfund cleanup in DEQ, and some federal funds in OWEB. And then down below is a slide that just shows you again the major expenditure categories, but for the 0507 governor's recommended budget. There are no questions on those. I'll just continue.
I know I'm not looking at any detail at all.
That's correct.
This is very high level.
Very high level.
But it occurs to me in any society that an organization generally that puts less than 2% of its effort into outlay is not looking to the future very well. You know, a private company would probably go out of business if it was replacing equipment, buildings, whatever, only once every 50 years, what this would represent. Is that not true? I'm just asking.
Well, Representative Krieger and Senator Shields, I think when you, that's a good question, and you'll find out a better answer when you get into the individual agencies' budgets. You'll see there that special payments are a very big chunk of this budget area, and so a lot of the funds in these in the natural resources program area go out to local jurisdictions, grants and loans, and there's the common school fund distribution. So that's one issue. The other you'll see there is debt service for primarily the Department of Energy SELP program and DEQs. I think the Pollution Control Bond Fund debt service makes up most of that. So I know that's not really answering your question.
Well, it's too early to ask the question, so you don't have to answer it. It's just an observation.
It's a rhetorical question.
There's some things with 66 funds, too, as far as the mandates and what they're spent for.
That's correct.
25% is capital. 35% is capital.
So, again, Senator Shields, as we go through the individual budget, you'll have an opportunity to talk about what is in each budget and what's in there for their capital outlay. So then on page 5 of the slides, that's just the top one is just to give you a history of what's gone on in this program area since 93-95. From 93-95 to 95-97, the reason for that drop is there was a large decrease in other funds, primarily in Department of Energy and DEQ. I can't tell you specifically what that was for. It probably had to do with their Department of Energy, probably with the SELP program and just the activity that was occurring there.
Wasn't that when we dropped parks off of general fund because of Measure 66? I thought it was 96.
Lisa is
no.
Saying no.
That was 99.
99.
Okay.
And then the growth in 0103 to 0305 is primarily in federal funds in three agencies, in OEF and W, OWEB, and DEQ. And on the bottom, those lighter shaded rectangles represent general fund and lottery. And you can see it pretty much doubled, and most of that is due to lottery growth in the program area from 93-95. And then the slide at the bottom of page 5 is just to give you a sense of each agency within the natural resources program area, what their size budget is in relation to the $1.4 billion total funds budget in the governor's recommended budget. So you can see things like Columbia River Gorge Commission and LUBA are really, really small. And then your larger ones like DEQ, forestry, fish and wildlife. And then on the last page, it's a similar graph, but it just shows you the general fund and lottery funds. And the two bottom ones, OWEB and Parks and Recreation Department, those are primarily lottery. Although, as I mentioned before, there's a little bit of lottery in Ag and DEQ and ODF and W. So that just kind of gives you, I hope, an idea of where maybe you should focus because of where the general fund is in these agencies.
Okay.
I have a question about that first graph.
The
total funds. No, the total funds budget bar graph.
Okay.
So, for instance, I'm looking at the Department of Agriculture's budget. Would that include, because it seems awfully small, all the federal pass-through money for CREP and a lot of the other federal programs that we administer? Do you know? Okay, so that would include pass-through money from the feds, because we administer a lot of
correct. All the pass-through all the programs. Federal funds that the agencies get to then distribute, for example, to local jurisdictions would be represented in these totals. And in Department of Ag, there's for the governor's budget, there's about $47 million of federal funds.
And the same for OWEB's budget, for instance, which a large portion of it is the grant program.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And then the last slide is just to list some of the budget drivers in this program area, and they're not in any particular order, but there's something for you to think about. And there are probably more that could be listed there. So if there are no, boy, I went fast. If there are no questions on any of these slides, that is... pretty much the overview. And I apologize if it's too high level.
Small blessing.
One of the few blessings we get.
Well, and there, as I said, there, you know, are several analysts involved, and they'll be able to give you the detailed kind of information that you're looking for.
Many of them have worked with these budgets before.
That's correct, yeah.
Which really helps. They've got a past history of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't.
Yeah. So I work with the Department of State Lands budget, the Department of Land Conservation and Development budget, and LUBA. So those are the three that I have.
One of the LFO reports to us look about the same as we've seen in Ways and Means and the other committees for, you know, DHS, Education, Commerce, the ones we have a written description of the programs and then your analysis of the finances of it.
Okay. We're trying to be consistent among subcommittees.
Okay. Good, this new process. This is the first time agencies have gone through it, too. I mean, I would anticipate mm-hmm. there are going to be some stumbling blocks
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're anticipating that, the staff is anticipating that, or we're just going to see how it turns out. And
Representative Krieger and Senator Nelson, we are trying very hard to work with agencies to get them ready for these hearings, but it is a new process, and I think there probably will be a little bit of stumbling around until we...
Well, one of the concerns I'm hearing from, I guess, community-level people is they're saying, well, the state agencies are going to say, this is the best program. And the community-level people are saying, well, you know, that really doesn't fit my little particular area. I want some more flexibility, or I think this is a better program. And it seems to me that's going to be hard for us to figure out, because we're relying a lot upon what the agencies say.
Well,
you'd be surprised how many people... that are also show up here that really are pretty darn vocal about that they feel those agencies aren't directing those dollars properly.
That will help us in the process, I would say.
The performance measures, too, that some of the agencies are for the second year, third session into them, second session?
This will be the second session when they've really been highlighted.
Yeah, that may be of value for us, too.
That's the book I can't read.
I don't understand. I've got to work on it.
You'll get it.
I'll take that home tonight.
It'll be a test tomorrow.
Sure. Yeah.
And it becomes a lot clearer when you're looking at a specific budget.
Programs.
And it makes sense. That is sort of, the theory isn't there, but the nitty-gritty when you see it makes a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. The question then becomes, for me at least, becomes, is that a regional performance measure, and is the data we presented real? And in some agencies, that's something they have a hard time getting to for us.
Senator Page, do you recall Representative Kremel's performance measure questions on the House floor.
Painful. Yeah.
I remember he asked me, would you yield for a question? I said, no.
And I finally said the same thing.
Yeah, you did.
You and I both said, that's
that not was the end of that.
I'm not, if you want the information, go to Kennedy.
Oh, he wanted to make a public record of it. You know, I understand that, but people did have an opportunity to look at that before they got in on the House floor, on a budget.
Or come and ask us ahead of time.
Yeah.
One more question, just another thought. And speaking with Senator Schrader, he encouraged us, at least some of us, to ask more questions and do things like that. So one of the questions I would throw out is, do we look at things like consolidation of agencies? Does that save any money? I mean, if we have to do things differently, is that, or are we just going to follow blindly the agency is going to pray it for us, all 14 of them? I know some states only have one agency to take care of natural resources. I don't know if there's any savings there.
I've been in conversations. I went there two terms, the second, third term starting, and same with Representative Dingfelter.
There's been, I have a white paper that was written on it. I haven't seen an economic analysis. I've worked extensively with Washington and California. Washington has Department of Ecology, which, for instance, has, you know, some of the agencies grouped under. And then California has their DNR, which is Department of Natural Resources, which is sort of an umbrella organization. And, you know, it was amazing how much infighting happened just within that umbrella. But, you know, I think it's something that should be looked at because we do have probably overlapping administrative duties, if anything, with 14 different natural resource agencies. You know, part of the challenge, I know, working in the natural resource field for 20 years is when you have several different agencies dealing with the same media, such as Water Resources Department, Department of Environmental Quality, and Department of Health that all deal with water. And so you have to get three different permits sometimes, you know, dealing with.
We're talking about consolidating the ESDs, and that's going to be a money saver. But then I talked with my people out on the ESDs, they said, well, it's not going to be a lot of savings. So, I mean, I'm not advocating that we do that.
Well, maybe we need a task force or some type of study, because I haven't seen any type of analysis unless somebody else has here.
I haven't seen it. Of course, you always have the issue of turf protection.
It's like the bucket-to-bucket approach. Bucket-to-bucket might be good one place, but it's not good another place.
The other idea is, actually, Gail Ackerman was the author of the paper that I have, and we could ask the Institute for Natural Resources to look into that as a neutral body to do some type of assessment.
His idea is you're flashing around. You know, we're going to have a new chair here in a few days, not certain who that's going to be, and take time to meet with them if you've got some ideas that might benefit. And we've got people here that are been here, could give us an analysis of what that might really mean. Anything further?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to mention one other thing in response to something that Senator Nelson said about having others come forward with where they would like to see perhaps money spent rather than just have the agencies come forward. As I mentioned, there are several smaller agencies scheduled for their Phase 1 hearing towards the end of the Phase 1, and one thing that the subcommittee might want to do instead of hearing those budgets, which could be heard during Phase 2, is maybe schedule some time for some invited testimony so that you could get that input. So that
a lot of the constituent bases of those agencies have come in regarding fee issues. I've seen them do it pretty consistently. Those major agencies, I think they'll be there again to point out that, hey, this might be a good program, but we actually would like to see more dollars over here. And that's what you're here to make the decision about. Anything further?
No, Mr. Chair.
Committee members? All right, then we'll close the Natural Resource Ways and Means Sub. Thank you.